this morning, the scripture reading will be coming from Luke 14, 16 through 24. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yokes of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, church. I'd like to encourage you to keep your Bibles open there to Luke chapter 14, and we'll meet there in just a few minutes. I want to encourage you to be thinking about being with us tonight at 5 p.m. time change. So 5 p.m. we'll be back in the ministry building. Enjoy some soup and sandwiches as well as a time of devotion. So I want to encourage you to come. It will be cold outside, but it'll be warm inside. So hope that you will come and be a part of that. If you have helped over the weekend with Miss Joyce Hudson's funeral and the food and things like that, the family sends word to us to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done for them over the last few days in helping them through this time of loss. So thank you for doing that. Those of you that are visiting, thank you for being here today. Those of you that are joining us online, thank you for joining with us. Brother Howard, Sister Katie, thank you. What a great, great morning this has been. And thank you for their family for being with us. And I was thinking that as Brother Donnie spoke about all the impact that Brother Howard and Sister Katie has had in this area and even down in Alabama, I wanted to share this morning that they have had an impact on us in the office as well. You all know the impact that they have had on this church body, but I just wanted to say thank you to each of them for the impact that they have had on me and Dustin and Miss Debbie and Adam and all of us and Dennis, Dwayne and Thomas, all of us in the office each and every week. You guys are missed. And we thank you so much for all that you have done for us and taught us. And your impact is still being felt in our office and in the things that we do and the things that we talk about and the ideas that we try to come up with. They have been influenced by you. So thank you very, very much. What would you do if some great person, some celebrity, some special person would send you a VIP invitation for you to come to their house, to their location, to be a part of this great celebration? What would you do? What if Dolly Parton sent you an invitation specifically for you to come to her place to enjoy this great party? What would you do? What about Luke Combs? What if he sent you this invitation and said, "I want you to come and be a part of this great party, this great celebration at my home"? What would you do? What about Michael Jordan, you sports fans? What if Michael Jordan was to send you a special invitation and say, "Come to my house and enjoy this great party"? What about Jennifer Anderson? What if she was to send you an invitation? Come to her house to enjoy this special occasion, this party. What about Dwayne The Rock Johnson? What if he was to send you personally an invitation and said, come to my house and be a part of this great celebration? What would you do? What about Sandra Bullock? If she sent you an invitation, said, come to my house, I'm having this big party, this big celebration, I want you to be there, what would you do? Again, sports fans, what about LeBron James? He was to send you an invitation personally. Come to my house. We're having a big celebration. This is the occasion. What would you do? What about Chris Evans, Captain America? If he were to send you an invitation, come be a part of this great celebration at my house, what would you do? What about Prince William and Kate Middleton? If they said, come to London and be a part of this great celebration, we are inviting you personally, what would your answer be? Well, we all know what the answer is. Yes, I will be there. Tell me the time. Tell me the place. I will be there. I'm getting on a plane. I'm jumping in my car. I am there. But what would the reaction be if you said, nah, I can't come. I've got this, this, and this. Everyone would look at you like, are you crazy? Like they have given you a special invitation. They would laugh at you, right? Well, that's exactly the situation that we have here in Luke chapter 14. In the parable of the Great Supper that was read to us by Michael just a few minutes ago. In chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it gives us the scene of what's taking place here. Jesus had come at the invitation of one of the ruling leaders of the Jewish party of the Pharisees. And remember, they're trying to find fault. For look at verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, they watched him closely. They were trying to trick him. And while they're there, this gentleman comes and he says, and he has dropsy. He has this situation where his body does not get off the fluid. And so he's swelling because of a heart issue or a lung issue or a liver issue or a kidney issue. And the Jews, they thought that was unclean. In fact, they thought that was punishment for God for immorality. And so they would not want anything to do with that. And so at being on the Sabbath, Jesus says, hey, is it lawful that I heal this person on the Sabbath? Well, the Jewish leaders, they're speechless. They don't know what to say. And so Jesus heals this individual. And then Jesus proceeds to tell another story. You know how when you come into the feast, of a wedding feast, you want to take the best seats? And he says, but here's what you need to do. If you go into this wedding feast and you take the best seat, if someone more honorable than you comes in and the master of the house says, hey, can you move down and let this person there? He says, then you're going to be shamed. Instead, what you ought to do is when you go into a wedding feast, you take the lowest seat. And then when the master comes and says, hey, move on up, then you will be honored. And the lesson there is in verse 11. And that's the lesson of the whole chapter. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus then proceeds to tell the master of the house, the other thing you don't need to do, don't just invite the people that you like. Don't just invite the wealthy of the community. Don't just invite those of high standard of the community. You go out and you invite the poor and the lame and the maimed and the blind. Because they can't repay you. And when you do that, you will be repaid at the resurrection. And it's during this scene that Jesus tells this story. Now, why is he telling this story? Because notice in verse 15, one of these Jewish leaders or some sort of prominent person, can you get it in your mind? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful I'm a Jew. I'm so thankful I believe in God. I'm so thankful I'm in this house. Won't it be great? It's going to be awesome to be able to eat bread in the kingdom of God. You see, this individual thought he had it made. He believed in God. He was a Jew. He had it made. He was even likely wealthy because he had been invited to this wealthy feast. He was not among the poor, the lamed, or the maimed, or the blind. He was not among the average of society, of the Jewish society. And he thought he had it made. And so Jesus proceeds to tell this story about a certain man who prepared a feast. And he sent out the invitation. You see, in Jesus' day, it was a great honor to be invited to a feast. Not only that, they would send two invitations. The first invitation was to come to the feast, to be a part of this gathering. But they only told of the date. They didn't tell of the time. Because in that day, they would need to know how many people would come. By the way, they had given their RSVP. They needed to know how many would be coming so they could prepare the right amount of food. Evidently, this was a wealthy person because he had this great supper and many had been invited. Wouldn't it have been great to be a part of that feast? Wouldn't it have been great to be invited to that? Perhaps we have. The indication in the story is that God is represented by the master of the house. Jesus is represented by the servants, for he was the one who said, "Come to the feast." Remember, Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation, but taking the form of a bondservant." And in Galatians chapter 4, he said, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You see, the Jews are the ones who had been invited. God invited them through Jesus Christ. But as the text tells us here in Luke chapter 14, they made excuses. Instead of when the word came out, "Hey, the feast is ready, come to the feast," they insulted the master of the house because they refused to come to the feast. It must have been shocking to those Jewish leaders in this house. Because in their mind, this great celebration, someone had been invited. Who in their right mind would reject the invitation of the master to come to the feast? But in this story, it wasn't just a few. All of the guests that he invited rejected him. This would have been incomprehensible to the status-seeking Jewish leaders. And so Jesus gave three examples. The first example of an excuse, well, I've bought land and so I can't come to the feast. Who in their right mind would buy a piece of property, at least in that day and time, sight unseen? They didn't have the internet. Why would someone buy a piece of property without first looking into it? So that was not a very compelling excuse. The second was, I had purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go try them out. Again, who in this day and time at least would purchase 5 yoke? They didn't have Canva. Or is that the one, you know, where you order the car online? Room, Zoom, some of that kind of stuff. I've never done that before. But they didn't have the internet to do that. They couldn't, well, let me look here and see what kind of oxen I can get. No, that was a ridiculous excuse. They would have gone and checked it out. And if you're buying that many yoke of oxen, you have the amount of money to send your servants or your workers to go check out the oxen so you can go to the feast. And then the third said, you know what, I've taken a wife. I can't come to the feast. Well, that's not a good excuse either, because to a Jew, especially a Jewish leader, they had a very low view of women. And no woman in that day and time was going to tell their husband what they could and could not do. And so that was a lame excuse. Billy Sunday, defined excuse is this: the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Those making excuses represented the multitudes of Jews who had rejected the Messiah. Some had rejected because of their possessions. Remember in the story of the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18? He had it all. And he believed that Jesus was a good teacher and he had all the answers. And so he asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Do you remember the outcome of that story when Jesus said, "Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me"? The Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Some rejected Jesus because of ambition. In John chapter 12, you remember what John taught about seeking the praise of men, seeking those certain positions among men. He said, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." They believed, but they wouldn't confess. They believed, but they wouldn't follow. Why? Lest they should be kicked out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Others rejected Jesus because of family relationships. Jesus taught those who would follow them that they need to be willing to put Him first. You remember what He says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37? "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see, Jesus was reminding the people that would follow Him, "I need to be first. I must be first." Well, somebody might say, "Well, isn't that kind of arrogant of Jesus? Isn't that kind of selfish of Jesus?" Because here it is. If Jesus is first in my life, I'm going to honor my spouse. I'm going to honor my kids. I'm going to honor and respect my family because Jesus is first. That's what Jesus indicated. That's what He was calling for. When Jesus is first, I live right. When Jesus is first, I respect those around me. Even though they might not deserve respect, I respect them. Even though they might not deserve good treatment because they've been harsh to me, I treat them well because that's what Jesus has done for me. Luke records the words of those who say, "If you're devoted more to your family and those relationships more than me," Luke says in Luke 14 and verse 26, "they cannot be my disciple." So here's the question for us. What am I going to do with Jesus? Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In the last few verses of Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives those who were included and those who were excluded. As a result of their excuses, the Master was angry. Therefore, because of their rejection of the invitation to come to the feast because it was ready, they were excluded from the great banquet. The Master then instructs the servants, "Go out, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and invite them in." And they go out into the streets and they do so and they say, "Master, the house still has room." All right, I want you to go out and invite everyone. And you know what? Later, God did that. When He invited the very people into the kingdom, into His kingdom that the Jews had looked down on, and that was the rest of society, the Gentiles, for a Jew to have a Roman citizen be in the kingdom of God, that would have been incomprehensible. But they had rejected the invitation. So this morning, here's the question for you and I. What about me? Do I make excuses for not doing the will of God? You see, we have all the same things pulling at us. Possessions, ambition, family relationships. Are we making the same excuses that these Jewish leaders did, or are the people in this story? And sitting back and thinking, well, I'm good, I'm a Christian, I believe. And yet, we reject the will of God in our life. We reject to live with Jesus daily. Or are our possessions greater of greater importance than accepting the invitation of God? Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, don't worry about stuff. Don't get so caught up in focusing on stuff. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is my position at work, my ambition of greater value than accepting the invitation of Jesus in my life, the will of God? Are my family relationships of greater importance than accepting the invitation of God? If you're not a Christian today, we want you to know the invitation has been given. That to come to God, you have to do so through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that He's the Savior of the world, that He died on that cross for you, for the forgiveness of your sins? If you do, are you willing to give your life back to Him? The life that He's breathed into you, by the way. Are you ready to give that back to Him? And the Bible teaches us, all through the book of Acts, that those who did that, they went down in that watery grave of baptism, indicating, I am dying to myself, I am humbling myself before God and before others, and I'm giving my life to You, Lord. And then they come up out of that watery grave of baptism, ready to go on in newness of life, but also living a life of humility, realizing I need a Savior, not just on that day when I went down in the water because of my faith, but every day. Because 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us, continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us of our sins. You see, we must remember there's no hope for those who reject Christ. Are you walking in the light today? Are you making excuses? You see, here's the reality. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, we continue to have forgiveness of sins. Later down in chapter 2 and verse 6, He says, we need to, if we are going to do the commandments, follow the commandments of God, we do so by walking like Jesus. Later in chapter 2, He says, we do that by not loving the world, but loving God. We have been so blessed. We have so much. There's always someone that has more or less than us, but all of us individually, we've been so blessed. Let's not make excuses. Let's not use those. Let's not allow ambition to get in our way, or certain relationships to get in our way. In chapter 3 of 1 John, John says, by following the commandments of God, the way we do that is we seek to do those things that please Him. And when we do that, the feast will be magnificent. You see, when we do that, and the more that we walk in this Word, the more we feast on this Word, guess what? It becomes greater and greater, and better and better. And if it gets that much better in this life, imagine, for those who remain faithful. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about continue to walk in the light. When we make mistakes, we return to the Lord. But we continue to walk. We continue to serve. We continue to feast. And imagine what that will be on that great day. Today, if you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you not wait another moment, but come forward as together we sing and let us assist you any way we can.